from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Let's Get to Work with Teresa Deer on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Let's get started. Let's get to work with Teresa Deer, employment expert.
What talent, what skill, what competency, what gift do you have that you are not using?
Management guru.
We come here on Saturday morning to look at how we leverage our competencies in our wheelhouse, sharpen instruments in our toolkit, challenge obsolete models, and exploit the best of who we are for the greater good of many. That's what we do here on the Let's Get to Work show.
Game changer, entrepreneur, author, speaker.
This day, ladies and gentlemen, that we must decide that we will not give up. We will not become weary. We will not be broken down. We will not surrender or acquiesce.
And your navigator to new heights of success.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for having me on. Thank all your viewers for listening. And God bless you. You're doing a great job yourself.
Touched and encouraged each Saturday morning.
You're a star. We're very lucky to have you, and thank you very much.
Hashtag Teresa Deer.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Let's get into it. Yeah. Get stoked. Come on. Get started. Come on. Get started. Get started. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control. A body and soul. Don't move too fast, we'll just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it. Y'all hear about it, the piece will do it. Get started, get stupid. Don't worry about it, people will walk you through it. Step by step like an infant new kid. Inch by inch with the new.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Winners, champions, leaders, pace setters, chart busters, and game changers. Welcome to the Let's Get to Work show. I am Teresa Deer, your host and president and CEO of HR for Nonprofits, where we provide imaginative, innovative, and intuitive management strategies and solutions. How are you this Saturday morning, ladies and gentlemen? I know that you are having a super fantastically, awesomely, lovely, and wonderful Saturday morning. And how do I know that? Because you're starting it right here with us on the Let's Get to Work show. How else could your Saturday be except spectacular? Because you are listening to the Let's Get to Work show. Welcome, 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 everybody. I hope you had a great week. Well, we are here in the studio, and I say we with a capital W-E, because my brother and friend Tim Jones is here. He is the chief inspiration officer of this show, and we're going to hear from him in just a moment. But I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to know that I am quite honored, thrilled, blessed, and delighted beyond description or imagination to be your host. Wherever I am in the country during the week, I am thinking about the Let's Get to Work show on Saturday. Can't wait to talk to you and bring you the best information, the best guests possible to inspire your journey and certainly to navigate you to new heights of success. I want to thank everybody that listens to us via social media. Thank you, everybody that listens to us via iHeartRadio. And we certainly appreciate the many calls and messages during and after the show last week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new day. I don't know about you. Yesterday was fantastic, but guess what? Today is going to be even better. I don't know about you, but I could use just a brief conversation, a word, a petition, a prayer to the Lord. And that's what we're going to do right now. That's how we start the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you listen to the show for the first time, we always take a moment to thank the Lord. And so, God, we want to thank you for this day. because this is a day that we have never seen before, and it's a day that we will never see again. We thank you for the blessings of this day, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity and this platform. Somebody needs to hear the message. Somebody needs to hear the word of encouragement today. Somebody, oh God, that we know, somebody that's listening right now is barely making ends meet. Somebody is about to give up. But we know you as a God that can do anything but fail. And so as you sit high, God, look low, incline your ear to those who are in need. And we just ask that you would let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, not our own, but yours. These and all things we lift up to you, and everybody that believes that says amen, utters the word amen. They whisper the word amen. Amen, amen, amen. The chief inspiration officer is in the house. Tim Jones, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Good morning, WVON family. Happy Black History Year is still going.
It is.
I hope you had an incredible week. Hey, guess what? The word of the day is pride. Bear with me on this one. The word of the day is pride. Hey, pride is actually beneficial and detrimental to our dreams. We all have it. For some of us, it's a tension to manage. For some of us, it's a problem to solve. It often serves as a driver for accomplishing our goals, aims, and dreams. But we have to keep an eye on it, because what happens more often than not in this me society that we live in, too much pride will always take us for a ride. One ride leads to arrogance. I have one warning for those that are arrogant. Those who are not humble crumble. Yeah, it's impossible to be full with pride and potential. If you struggle with too much pride, the goal is to deprive pride so that you can pulverize the potential in your life. Another dangerous ride our pride takes us on is attention seeking. The sound when we toot our own horn for attention only goes so far. Our pride effortlessly pulls towards the humble brag. You know what the humble brag is, right? I'm honored to have been chosen number one out of 600 people to lead 600 people to a better life for $600,000 a year. It's a dangerous thing when pride rears its ugly head, because it takes our attention off of the mission or the dream and places it onto ourselves. I repeat, we can't be full of pride and full of potential. If you struggle with too much pride, the goal is to deprive pride so that you can pulverize your potential. As a matter of fact, too much pride is actually birthed from too much ego. It's the ego that keeps our potential from being fully realized. Overconfidence, oversharing, overwork, overreacting is fueled by our ego. Do we all have an ego? Yes. Some of us have big egos. Those are the people that think they think more highly of themselves than they actually should. Some of us have bad egos. Those are those who think we are higher than others because of how highly we think of ourselves. And then some of us have the best ego, or the right amount of ego. This is those people who have strong but not suffocating egos. Here's the bottom line. We have to empty us of us. That's my working definition of humility. Empty you of you is the only way to override ego in our life. Have you ever made the bonehead mistake of putting the wrong fuel in your car? Putting the wrong fuel into your car can cause havoc to your journey and potentially cause extensive damage to your car engine. It's a common mistake people make. To that, I might add, running on too much pride or all pride can cause havoc on your journey. and potentially cause extensive damage to your potential and your dreams. Guys, pride and ego is the wrong fuel for our journey. The only way to fix the problem is to drain out that pride, drain out that ego in our life. Just like you would have to drain out that wrong fuel in your car. Hey, as dreamers and leaders, it is a must that we empty us of us so that we can override pride and ego in our life. I hope you have an incredible week, guys. That's it.
Pride. I love it. You were doing a little rap in there, too. You were talking about, you know, all kinds of different things. It was rhyming. But what I love about ego and the need to defeat, diminish, subside ego is ego, E-G-O, stands for edging God out. So if we would just put our ego down, if we would put our ego aside, we could probably hear from God a little bit more.
Right.
Tim, I love the word pride. I love your message. How can we follow you?
The World Wide Web, IamTimJones.com. Facebook, Tim Jones. Instagram, IamTimJones.com. You just spell it all out. On Twitter, IamTimoJones.
Folks, make sure that every day you leave no potential on the table. That is Tim's mantra. That's his tagline. That's the mission, his life's mission, and I absolutely love it. We need to be conscientious of that and apply it to our life every day. Tim Jones, ladies and gentlemen, our chief inspiration officer. I'm so lucky and blessed and fortunate this Saturday morning because in addition to Tim Jones in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, I have a phenomenal author, inspirer, influencer, relationship builder, and community leader. His name, I told you last week he would be here, and he's here in the studio, Mr. Dwayne Bryan. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, good morning. Man, I was sleepy, but now you and Tim hit me with a double dose. I'm okay now.
Yes, it's all good. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwayne Bryan. He is the author of The Stop. If you don't know Dwayne Bryan, you need to Google him because he is Googleable, if that's a word. I just made that word up. Googleable. Dwayne Bryan. Go on Facebook, Google him. Twitter, Google him. Google Images, Google him. LinkedIn, Google him. He has a national audience, national following. Someone that male role models can absolutely look up to, females as well. But certainly the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that I have called him a relationship builder because he does it better than anyone else, especially as it relates to building the relationship between the community and the police. So the phone number, 773-591-1690, is where you can call in this morning to talk to our brother and friend, Dwayne Bryant. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dwayne Bryant. If you have comments, suggestions, recommendations, and you want to present them to Dwayne Bryant, you can do so. But we are going to talk about not only his own journey in creating his company, Inner Visions, but we're also going to talk about the book, The Stop. S-T-O-P. You know that conversation that parents now need to have with their children about the stop by the police. That's what his book is about. I've read it. It is a wonderful read. So you need to get it. You can get it on Amazon, among other places. And we'll talk about that right after the break. Thanks so much for listening.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Teresa Deer, your host. And Tim, before you leave, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I just want to know, are you running for mayor?
You know what? I don't know if you remember the image of the yellow two-door Volkswagen where about 20 or 30 clowns jump out and you don't know when it's going to stop. I will not be one of those clowns jumping out of the Volkswagen.
And I am not running for mayor, so stop asking me, people. I'm not running. Dwayne, are you running for mayor?
You know what? I thought about it for about 37 minutes and 22 seconds, and then I envisioned that same car that Tim was just talking about, and I didn't want to be inside of it.
My God. The question is, who's not running for mayor, right?
That's a very good question.
Wow. Folks, you heard how you can follow Tim on Facebook. And you can follow me. Actually, you can follow Tim anywhere. He's on all the social media platforms. You can follow me also on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, SoundCloud, you name it, Instagram. But the phone number is 773-591-1690. The mission of the Let's Get to Work show is to enable, empower, equip, and encourage individuals to pursue and realize their employment and entrepreneurial goals. Or, as Maya Angelou says, every week we come to you just trying to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. So, folks, we are here talking this morning to our brother and friend, community leader, Dwayne Bryant. Dwayne, good morning.
How are you? I am amazing. I'm well.
You are amazing and also not a candidate for mayor. I just want to put that out there.
No.
All right. So, folks, Dwayne does many things. He is the president and CEO of Inner Visions. He is also the author of a book called The Stop. If you don't know about The Stop, you need to get not only the book, but you need to secure Dwayne to come and speak at your event because he is a phenomenally inspiring speaker. So let's start this way. Dwayne, tell us about your company.
Sure. My company is Inner Vision International. Our mission is to motivate, educate, and inspire individuals to achieve their maximum potential in their personal lives and the communities in which they live. We incorporated in 1997 here in Chicago. And a little background, I worked for Johnson & Johnson in sales right after college. And after that, I was watching a news program, and they were talking about the students in Chicago, the lack of academic progress, et cetera. And I just felt like there's more I can be doing than working in the corporate world. I can be working with our people to help educate, to inspire, and to help graduation rates, et cetera. So I resigned from Johnson & Johnson and incorporated Inner Vision. I actually started just doing motivational speaking when Dr. Blundeen Davis was the chief education officer out here, and it went from that to full-blown programming.
So we need to back up just a little bit because, folks, Dwayne is major. Major. Do you hear me? He has been on Oprah Winfrey. He's been on most of the talk shows here in Illinois. Dwayne is a iconic expert on this particular topic. He's humble. You hear that little southern drawl from that hails from Florida, right?
Yes.
But even before he started Inner Vision, he was doing major things. Dwayne, how do you spell Inner Vision for those folks that are multitasking, listening to the radio, and trying to pull you up right now?
Sure. Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, International, I-N-T-E-R-N-A-T-I-O-N-A-L.
And he can spell.
And I can spell. I wrote it down somewhere.
So tell us why specifically you started the company. What was your inspiration?
Sure. There were a few different things. Teresa, growing up, I had a single parent mom. My daddy wasn't there. I used to get in trouble. I was a bully. I got put out of one elementary school. I didn't care much about the future. And it wasn't until I had people outside of family who spoke into my life that I got serious about life itself.
Yes.
And that's when I began to realize, okay, transformation is possible. In St. Louis, I had a gentleman. I spoke at a high school, and this young man came up to me and said, hey, man, you're going to be just like these other ends who come to the school. Mm-hmm. You talk all this good talk, and then you're going to leave, and you're not going to show up. So it's better for you not to even show up in the first place. I was like, whoa, snap, hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, man, you know, first of all, I think you're letting this suit fool you because you really don't know who I am talking to me that way. And so long story short, I started investing time with this young man, Sharon Hopkins. He had a 1.5 GPA. He was involved in drugs and gangs. And literally starting to work with him, he lived in the children's home in St. Louis, and they began to tell me, hey, Sharon, after hanging with you, he's starting to talk about homework and doing his work.
Wow.
So can you spend more time with him? And I was like, look, man, I ain't trying to hang out with no kid too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is his academics began to improve. So I literally didn't have any family in St. Louis, so I was able to spend more and more time with this young man. Long story short, he graduated from high school. Went to college, graduated from university, studied in Oxford.
He
was a regional manager for P.F. Chang. So when I saw, here's a boy with a 1.5 GPA selling drugs, and I got to tell you, one time we were talking, and he told me, listen, what I really want to do is, with my clientele, I believe with your clientele, if you work for me and sell these drugs, I guarantee you we can be, I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me this whole encounter was about me working for you to sell drugs so we can expose it to this corporate clientele? I was like, have you lost your mofo mind?
Right.
And I said, listen, this is how dumb you are. I said, we do the same things. You do sales, I do sales. You do marketing, I do marketing. You do distribution, I do distribution. You do finance, I do finance. The difference is your little dumb self do it on street corners where you might get shot any given week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I do it in corporate suites.
Yes.
I said, Johnson & Johnson is the biggest drug dealing company in the world, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, study us. Know
right,
who we are.
Right.
And I said, we have marketing teams. We got distribution plans. And you sitting on the street. I said, I'm going to be an old man with a wife and children and a nice house and homes. You're going to be a dead man or a man in prison with some old raggedy women with snaggle tooth. Which one do you prefer? And he's just started like, I never thought about that. What you mean you do sales? I said, so I took him on a call with me
mm-hmm.
to show him what I do. And he was like, man, that seemed fun. I said, life should be fun. You should have fun doing what you love to do, but you're destroying the community. I said, even if you make $1 million, you still won't be successful
because
exactly. you're destroying women and children, your community for a dollar. And he began to start thinking, this brother is an amazing man today.
Wow, what an inspiring story. And I'm sure you have hundreds of those. So share with us, Dwayne, you started InnerVision as sort of a apparatus to manage your speaking engagements and consulting, et cetera, correct?
Well, not necessarily. InnerVision started mm-hmm. to be able to really say, I believe we can make a difference in these schools.
Sure.
Now, before I started InnerVision, I had my first paid engagement through Les Brown. And when they paid me $1,500 in like 1995 for 45 minutes, I said, good God, you mean you're going to pay me to talk?
God is good.
Listen, that's what I knew. Okay, Johnson,
you
your days
gift.
Are limited.
Yes.
But when I started it, it was to get into the schools and to really see if it's possible to positively impact the school. So what
great.
I did is in the first 3 months, Dr. Davis set it up where I was speaking to literally almost 30, 45 different schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote letters saying, hey, this guy is great. The students love him. Can you bring him back?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Doc, this is not going to work. She said, what do you mean? I said, you won't get any results. I said, because I'm going to light them up on Monday. They go home Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I said, by Friday, they're right back to where they were
yes.
before I showed up.
Yes.
And it could be even more destructive because I gave them hope. But home, community, environment, television shows them what they can't become. And so she said, what do you recommend? I said, if you give me a school, any school, I can guarantee you results. So in 1999, Corliss High School was the first school that we implemented our mentoring program. And when I say our, at that time, it was just me
right.
working on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays with 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. And at that point, I would just say, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? Hey, we want to talk about getting into college. Okay, that's goal setting and time management because
mm-hmm.
you got to have those skills.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, what do you want to talk about? My mama's boyfriend is messing with me. I'm about to knock him out. Okay, that's healthy relationships or conflict resolution. So literally that year, 1999, check the data. Corliss had a 10-year high graduation rate, a 10-year low dropout rate, and their TAP, T-A-P, Test of Academic Proficiency scores were highest than it has been in the previous 8 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, President Jerry Chico called me in and said, hey, I heard two things happen at Corliss. You were working with the students, and DePaul University was working with the teachers for small classroom sizes. And he said, what happened? I said, Mr. President, none of this stuff is rocket science. These kids are not motivated. People tell them to be successful, but they don't show them how to become successful. And that what made the difference.
You know, there's a couple of things that you said that are just, you know, profound. One is, you know, on the outset, you said that you were making $1,500. Now, you could have pursued this for the money, but you didn't. You pursued it because you wanted to make an impact. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we pursue things for the wrong reasons. But you had a mission, and your mission and your cause is noble. But it is multi-generational as well. You are essentially breaking generational cycles. And so I appreciate that. And the other thing that I love about what you are doing, specifically with regard to Corliss, and I'm sure there are many more, you have responded, you have metrics, or as the younger folks say, you got receipts for what you have done. And I appreciate it, because at the end of the day, that's what this work is about. It's about results, and it's about transforming lives, and it's about transforming communities. And obviously, you are doing that.
Thank you.
So with regard to your business, because we have an audience that want to know how you wrote your book, mm-hmm. we'll bring you back for that. But mm-hmm. we want to talk about the book in a minute. But we also have people that want to understand, you know, how you started your business, et cetera. So share with us what has been the most rewarding aspect of running your business.
Sure. Wow. There's been many rewards. Probably the most rewarding. God has blessed me because we've had results from mm-hmm. the very first year that we were able to get additional funds. CPS said, okay, this works, so let's fund it a little bit more. So I was able to hire some incredible, wonderful, remarkable people.
Great.
So after we got the results in 99 and 2000, President Chico said, well, what would it take? I said, it'll take a bigger budget because I cannot do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
Your schools are stressful. And so I need a team of people, powerful, empowered individuals. So I was able to hire a group, and we called them visionaries. And we worked in the schools throughout the school day, and then we developed a curriculum. So the first thing was finding a great group of individuals, Bonita Harvey, Henry McGee, Melzie Porter, Kim Brasford, LaWanna Love, Maria Bryant, Bartel, Luis Gutierrez. It was so many people that came and said, listen, we see your vision and we see where you're going with this. We want to be a part. I paid. I did not have volunteers.
Right.
So I was able to pay people because I believe people do what they get paid to do. The second great thing was having a curriculum that now we're able to speak with and train, not just people here in Chicago, but I work with at least 10 different school districts, Seattle, Florida, Chicago, Pennsylvania, that we're able to share that information with. And I think the greatest thing is when you see those results and you see students who are having challenges in the beginning, and now they're beginning to understand who mm-hmm. they are and believe in themselves and start to transform. I think those are probably the three of the greatest things with the business.
So I hope you're listening, radio audience. He did not say that the most rewarding aspect of running the business was his revenue or his income or the network of people that he's connected to. He talked about the impact in the community and the impact of lives that he is touching. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What has been the most challenging aspect of running your business?
Well, that goes back to what you just said, money, revenues. I'm telling you, here's what's amazing, right? It's almost like in Chicago, when it works, we cut it off unless you're politically connected.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been politically connected to anyone. And Chicago is one of those places that if you're in, like, who sent you? Don't send nobody who ain't been sent or whatever.
Right, right.
So I haven't been sent by anyone in Chicago. God sent me here. And that's why I resigned at 27 years old, making $100,000 a year to start Intervision International. So when I stepped away from that, just knowing that this city should be better than what it is. And the only way it's going to be better if the black people wake up and do what they're supposed to be doing. And so the biggest challenge are revenues.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have two great years, we'll get results, and then they'll say, hey, this is great, it worked, we don't need you anymore. 2000,
wow.
The goal was to help graduate 50% of the kids at Proctor Academic Preparatory Center. Anita Andrews was the principal. In the first year, we graduated 73% of the students. CPS didn't believe it. The Department of Accountability talked to the students, the teachers, and to say, hey, where are these results coming from? And they were like, these people came in here every week, twice a week, telling us what we can be, showing us, taking us on field trips. So we believe it.
Yes.
And so after 2 years of that, they said, okay, this is great. We're going to put all the APCs in the high schools, and we don't need you anymore.
Wow.
In 99 at Corliss, when Corliss went off probation, the new principal said, hey, man, I know all the great work you've done. Thank you so much, but we don't need you anymore.
Wow.
So it's almost as though it works, so let's cut it instead of let's support it, let's continue it. And so that's probably the biggest challenge out of revenues.
I mean, on a fundamental level, when you think about something like a plant, a flower, you know, when it starts to sprout, you don't pluck it from the ground.
You water it, right?
You water it and give it sunshine.
If you want it to grow.
Yeah, that's my point.
If you want it to grow.
That is unfortunate to hear, but hopefully someone is listening in our audience who does not care that you're not politically connected. And that's probably a good thing. But knowing that God has sent you should
Absolutely.
Be enough. And, you know, in this climate now, this political climate where there are so many people running and mm-hmm. a new leader is mm-hmm. going to lead Chicago, perhaps this new environment will be one whereby someone will believe that you in particular, I don't want to say someone of your skill set, mm-hmm. someone of your talent and competencies, but you, Dwayne Bryant, will come back into the school system on a deeper level, on a more strategic level, and make a difference, because our kids have been subjected to blight.
Absolutely.
They have been subjected to violence. Mm-hmm. They have been subjected to trauma.
Sexual assault.
Absolutely. And so it is incumbent upon us as parents and leaders to make sure that we have people, role models like yourself, that are constantly in the presence on a platform speaking to our kids. All right, folks, we are going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to pivot because we need to talk about this book that Dwayne has authored. The book, ladies and gentlemen, is The Stop. You know what The Stop is, and that's what we're going to talk about. He has written it, and it is a wonderful read. It is a thought-provoking read. It is a easy read, and we want you to have it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Thanks so much for listening. I am Teresa Deer, and in the studio with me is none other than Dwayne Bryant. Dwayne is talking about The Stop. He is the author of The Stop. Dwayne, tell us about The Stop.
Absolutely. Okay. The STOP is The Stop Improving Police and Community Relations. It's actually an acronym, STOP. Everyone says it must be about a police stop, but it's the acronym stands for Support the Teaching of Principles,
mm-hmm.
because principles is why our whole society has gone awry, from our community, police community, and everyone else. So the inspiration from The STOP came two ways. I was doing a workshop on bullying for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders at Drake Elementary School on Chicago's South Side. And I asked them a question. I kind of deviated from the topic of bullying. I said, let me ask you this. If you're on the playground playing, minding your own business, doing nothing wrong, if a police car drove over, what would you do? And the baby said, run.
Mm-hmm.
I said, whoa, wait a minute. Why would you run? They said, because we don't want to get shot and we don't want to be harassed or not go home. And I was like, this is disturbing. And two of the bigger boys said, well, I wouldn't run, but if they harass me, I'm going to harass them. Or if they mess with me, I'm going to mess with them.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to go well for you guys, because clearly young kids are getting shot by police as well.
Right.
Almost 2 months or so later, I was driving from Chicago to Battle Creek, Michigan. I had a speaking engagement for the entire back-to-school staff. And Officer State Trooper Aaron Weller, Indiana, pulled me over for doing 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. And so when he pulled me over, he told me in Indiana, it's considered reckless driving. He can either give me a $500 ticket or take me to jail. And
wow.
I'm like, I know, right? I'm like, oh, snap, what? And I'm like, well, jail, no. If I have an option, we'll pay that $500 ticket.
Right.
Do you want it today, sir? And so as we continued to talk, he took my driver's license, ran it, saw that I had no history, no criminal history, no criminal background. So he gave me a $150 ticket. And I said, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate this. Can I take a picture of you? And he said, why would you take a picture? I said, I want to take a picture because I have students who believe that a black man getting pulled over by a white police officer is going to be some kind of fatality. And I said, I just want them to know that they also have power in the encounter and the stop. He said, what do you mean? What is your power? I said, I had power over my word choices, over my body language, as well as my tone.
Absolutely.
And I said, I didn't disrespect you. I didn't jump out and run. I didn't jump out and swing on you, but we had an intelligent conversation. So he said, okay, I'll tell you what, hand me that ticket back. And I was like, okay, he going to kill me for real now. He almost let a black man go. And so he took the ticket, ripped it up, and gave me a warning.
Wow.
And I was literally I mean, if you had something on my heart was going up and down. I was nervous. I was scared. I was like, why is he stopping me? And I just prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, you know who you are. You know whose you are. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. You are a man.
Yes.
Speak to this man like a man. And so when he gave me a warning, I posted it on Facebook. The post went viral. Almost every major network picked it up. And so from there, Crystal Marshall, I said, Crystal, we need to take our first impression curriculum because we have a curriculum on first impression, teaching students, you know, eye contact, handshake, tone, how to articulate, how to present yourself. I said, let's create one handout on how to interact with law enforcement. She said, are you kidding me? This is not a curriculum. This is a book.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't nobody care about no black dude getting pulled over by the police. It happens every day. She said, yeah, but how many times have you been pulled over? I said, I probably had over 17 police encounters.
Wow.
She said, how many times have you gone to jail? I said, never. She said, how many times have you been arrested? I said, never. How many times have you been in handcuffs? Never. I have no criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, you went to college on a full academic scholarship. You've been pulled over 17 times. Clearly, you know something that the brothers need to know.
Right.
And so I wrote the book about seven personal encounters I've had with law enforcement, starting in elementary school, through high school, through college, through current. And so talking about what happened, what could have happened if, so that I can empower young people to understand that they too have power in a police encounter, and also that they have to be responsible for navigating their life toward their destiny and not allow a 20-minute encounter to derail 20 years of their life.
It is a phenomenal book, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not read it, we want you to read it and we want you to have it. How can people purchase the book?
Sure. There's a number of ways. They can go to aboutthestop.com. That's my personal website. On my website, I'll send you a beautiful color copy of The Stop. I autograph it. I mail it out to
you. Nice.
They can get the workbook as well for parents who want to sit down and have intelligent conversations and dialogue with their children. They can also go to Amazon.com. They can get it there. It'll be a black and white copy from Amazon. They can get it on iTunes, Apple Book. And also, if they cannot read, they can get it on Audible. It's on Audible, where I did the actual in-studio work, and they can also get the audiobook from my website as well, aboutthestop.com.
We have a call this morning from Dr. Sanders. Good morning, Dr. Sanders. You're on the air with Teresa Deere and Dwayne Bryant. Thanks so much for holding.
What it look like? What it look like?
I don't know. Are you going to tell us what it looks like?
I'm not running for mayor.
Okay.
Dr. Sanders
is not running for mayor. Let's make sure that's on the record. Dr. Sanders, what's your comment or statement, sir?
Hey, this is a thought I've had for a long time. I wanted to see what Wayne would say about it. What if we ask the police, don't shoot unless you shot it?
Well, here's the deal. Don't shoot unless you shot at. That sounds good for everyone except those who are shooting at the police. And fortunately, since I've done this work, I've had an opportunity to engage sincerely with law enforcement, police departments, and different ones in different cities and different states. Police is more difficult than that. So let's say don't shoot unless you shot at. So let's say if I pull out a gun and point it to the police. Well, hey, officer, I didn't shoot at you, so why did you shoot me? No, that's not going to work. Hey, I pulled out a knife and told an officer and walked toward an officer. I didn't shoot at him. I only had a knife. That sounds good only for the person who is not doing the shooting. That's not realistic, and police officers are not trained to do that. They're trained to, one, first of all, preserve life themselves first, as well as other people, and then property and things of that nature. So although that might sound good, that's not the way they're trained. And if
I know it's not, I know that's not the way they're trained. But didn't we do that in one of the wars, Korea or Vietnam? They told them don't shoot unless you shot at.
Well, I'm not certain about the Vietnam, sir, so I can't speak on that. But I do know that that would be probably more hazardous for the police than what they would allow.
Oh, it would be dangerous for them. But well, how would that set up with the community, the black community, if they—
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, that's what I'm saying. The black community would absolutely love it. So we wouldn't have any kids getting killed unless they shoot at the police. We wouldn't have any criminals getting shot unless they shoot at the police. You know, so that means you can do a lot of different things and know that you won't get shot because you didn't shoot at the police. So that would only work for innocent people and criminals who didn't shoot at the police.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, keep up the good work, man.
Hey, my brother, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Dr. Sanders. Have a good day. So, Dwayne, if you can imagine this, we have 6 minutes left in the show.
That's it? What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we obviously are going to have to have you back in very, very soon. So, but let's let me just help the audience appreciate the power of the book. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a book that you can read with your and share with your son or daughter. It is a book that all academicians, if you are a teacher, an administrator, a leader in the school system, this is a book that you must have. If you are a community leader, a community organizer, this is a book that you need to have. If you are in law enforcement in any capacity, mm-hmm. This is a book that you need to have, because this book talks about how really it's about prevention.
Correct.
You know, how to make sure that an encounter with the police does not end up in a fatality. And it equips, which is what we talk about on the show, how to empower, enable, and equip people to be more successful in life. And so it empowers, enables, and equips leaders as well as students with those tools, the resources, the demeanor, and language to interact with the police. Dwayne, what else would you add to that?
The only thing I would add also, faith-based organizations, because we have so many churches with youth departments and things of that nature. One other thing I would say, Chicago Public Schools has approved the stop for all of its students, but there's no dollars behind it. So it's almost like you have the approval. We've seen it. We've looked at it. We think it's great for our young people. So if there's a corporation or if there's a political leader who has dollars to spend before the end of the fiscal year and say, where can we put this money? Hey, why don't we buy this book for the students so that we can begin to train teachers on how to implement this conversation, as well as parents, because students won't know unless they've been taught. And if we're not teaching them, they will not learn.
That's right. And folks, this is another way to sort of diminish and dispel this imagery that we see on social media and even on TV, where, you know, youth are challenging the police. And it is possible for folks to, just as folks have learned to run from the police and mm-hmm. challenge the police.
Absolutely.
It is also possible to learn how to have a
respectful, intelligent conversation
that Correct. Will end in positive results. And so that's the conversation that we want to continue with you, Dwayne, on this show, because if there aren't necessarily children that listen to the show on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, but their parents are listening, community organizers listen to the show, and politicians listen to the show.
Correct.
And so one of the huge proponents and advocates of this show is Congressman Danny Davis. He's probably listening.
He wrote
right
the forward. We wrote a driver's education manual, and Danny Davis, Congressman Danny Davis, wrote the one of the forwards. Yes.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, we are running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We got 1 minute left. Dwayne, do you have a final encouraging word for our listening audience?
Sure. I would say the final encouraging word is this. We are amazingly great people. we have forgotten who we are. We have to remember it. And if we don't know it, then we have to be reminded of it. How would they know unless they have a teacher?
Yes.
How would the teacher teach unless they've been taught? Mm. So it's time for us to really start not making excuses for where we are, but to get back to where we are. History has shown that we are a powerful black people if we come together unified and intelligently understand who we are and how God relates to us. We'll be okay.
I love that. And I really love the word unified, which is a word that should be applied to all of these candidates running for mayor. Somebody needs to get unified. There needs to be one voice and one candidate. But look, I'm not here to talk about politics today. Folks, tomorrow is Sunday. And you know what I believe about Sunday, that you should go to church. Somebody needs to see you in church and you need to be seen. And if you don't believe in organized religion, I understand it. I get it. Go help somebody tomorrow. Go donate your time. Go volunteer in an organization. Go pick up paper in your community. Do something that will make other people or your community a little bit better. We'll be here next week, right here at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9 on the Let's Get to Work show. Dwayne, thank you so much.
Teresa, the book, dear, thank you very much.
The book is The Stop. Get it on Amazon. Get it, folks. You need it. And Dwayne, we're going to have you back on the show.
I look forward to it.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.